So this week is Parshas Kisisa. God says to Moshe, Kisisa Sresh B'nei Yisroel Lefkudehem, when you count the heads of the Jewish people. So everybody should give half a shekel. So the obvious question is why it uses the phrase kisiso, which means to raise rather than to count. It could have said kisifkoid, when you count, moine count. So nosoi means to raise, and a nosi is a prince or some kind of a leader of the Jewish people. So the implication is, God says to Moshe, Kisiso es Rosh B'nei Yisroel Lefkudehem, when you elevate the heads of the Jewish people to their numbers. So when we elevate, to be elevated means to discover what is special about you. When I have Nesias Rosh, when I become the Nosi, it means, and we learned in Ishbitz many times, every human being is an expression of the divine. And the divine never expresses the same thing twice. So there's always newness. So every human being is an expression of an individual aspect, a newness, a chiddush, something new in God. So when God, so to speak, is beshevtik, is busy wearing the clothing or the face, or wearing that aspect, manifesting in the universe as that particular characteristic, then the person, the human, who expresses that face is then the Nosi Hador, is then the most important person in the world. So when God commands Moshe, Nosoi es Rosh B'nei Yisrael, he's saying to Moshe, you know, you're going to have to teach every Yid how to find inside himself the one individual aspect of himself which is unique, and how to know it. Bais Yaakov says this week that we're not talking about tzaddikim, we're not talking about righteous people, saints. That's not what this week's sedra is about. That's not what the parasha is about. We know that in this week's sedra, we worship the golden calf. We make the golden calf. Aaron makes it for us. We say to him, we want gods who can walk before us. And in the end, you know, Moshe breaks the Ten Commandments. He breaks the luchos, the tablets of stone, and he goes up into the mountain and he makes a fresh set. And then he comes down from the mountain. And the Torah tells us, Vayhi beredes Moshe mehar Sinai, and it was when Moshe came down from the mountain. Ushnei luchos ha'edus b'yad Moshe beredetoi min ahar, and he's carrying these two tablets of stone in his hand when he comes down from the mountain. And Moshe lo yoda, Moshe doesn't know, ki koran oirponov bedabroit, that his face is become radiant, the skin of his face has become radiant, brilliant with speaking when God has spoken to him. And when Aaron and Moshe, when Aaron and the people, the children of Israel, when they see Moshe and how his face is shining, they're afraid to approach him. And so Moshe puts a veil over his face. And everything that is in the Torah is eternal. So this parasha of Moshe coming down the mountain with his face shining bright like the sun, please press star 6, has made, this is also eternal thing. This is going on all the time. This is true for us as well. So how do we understand this parasha for us for every day? Where are the shining rays, you know, of Moshe, and where is the veil over his face? So the Medrash Tanchuma, the very last of the Midrashim in this week's Sedra, it says, "Vayhi beredes Moshe mehar Sinai." When Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, Moshe lo yoda ki koran oipono, and Moshe doesn't know that the skin of his face is now shining like the sun. Minayin zocha Moshe lekarnei hoyd. What did Moshe do to deserve these rays of glory? Or what's the source for Moshe to receive this throne, this gevalt? Omru Rabbi Seinu Zichronim Livracha. So our rabbis of blessed memory said, Min ha-ma'ora. It happened because of the cave. Moshe was in a cave. Shenema, as it's written, God said to him, I'm going to put you in the cleft in the rock. And then, V'hoye ba'avri ba'avoy kvoidi, and it's going to be when my glory passes, V'samticho b'nikra satsur, I'll put you there in the cleft of the rock. Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaf yodoy olav. So God puts the palms of his hand, so to speak, over the face of Moshe so that he can't see God. Umisham zocha lekarnei hoyd. So God putting his hands covering Moshe's face so that he can't look, that's where Moshe gets this, his face starts to shine like the sun. V'chein hu oiman, the Medrash brings a proof from a verse, kanai miyod eloi, he has rays from his hands, v'sham chevyon usoy, and that's where his glory is hidden. Yesh oimrim, there's another opinion in the Medrash. Where does Moshe, what's the source of the rays of light? Shebisho shohaya kodesh baruch hu melam de Torah, that while God was teaching Moshe the Torah on the mountain, minitzoitzes, from the sparks, shiyotzu mipi ashchina, that come from the mouth of the divine, not al karnehoit. So that's where Moshe gets these, in a physical analogy would be if you're really close to somebody and they're talking, so then tiny little minute droplets of spittle would come out, right? So if they splash on you, so in the same sense that God speaks and these divine sparks come and come to rest on Moshe, so that's where Moshe's face shines from. Reb Shmuel ben Nachman, so here's a third opinion. Haluchos, the tablets of stone, are 6 tefachim, 6 hand breadths. So they are like 24 inches tall. Verochban shloish, and they're 12 inches wide. V'hoye Moshe machzik b'shnei tefachim. So Moshe held on to these stones when God was giving him the stones. So Moshe grabs them and he's got like 8 inches of hold onto the stones. V'akadosh Baruch Hu b'shnei tefachim, and God is holding onto the stones with 8 inches. U'tefachayim revach b'emtza, so there's 8 inches in between the hands of God and the hands of Moshe. U'misham notal Moshe kanehoid, and that's where Moshe gets his rays of light. Rav Shmuel Amar, so here's a fourth opinion. Ad shemoshe kosev es ha-Torah, and while Moshe is writing the Torah, Nishtaya bekulmus kimo. So there's, while Moshe is writing the Torah with this quill, there's a little bit of ink left inside in the quill. Vehaviroi al roishoi. So Moshe passed the quill over his head, umimenu nasu lekanehoid. And so from the little bit of ink that Moshe, you know, tapped onto his skull or his face or his forehead, so those became the rays of light. Shenema, as it is written, Umoshe lo yoda ki koran. And Moshe doesn't know that the rays of light have sprung up. all these, the Bisyaku says, all these four explanations of where Moshe gets the rays of light, they all have something in common. The first one is that God covers Moshe's face. He puts him into the cleft of the rock, and he puts the palm of his hand over Moshe. So from God hiding something from you, that is where your radiance comes from. And all of these, all four explanations have this in common, that they express that the radiance of Moshe's face comes from the fact that Moshe, either he doesn't understand, or he can't explain, or he can't find the words. So we'll have a look at this first one. The first one is God says to him, Moshe says, Hareini no kudecha, show me your glory. And God says to him, I can't show you my glory. I want to show you my glory, but you're a human being. So I have to cover your face so that you can't see. In other words, I would show you if you could understand. You know, when we're talking to someone, very often we're trying to tell them something, but they can't understand. You know, it could be something technical, but sometimes you love someone, but you can't tell them how much you love them. It's impossible. Like, I would tell you if you could understand how deep my love is for you. That's what God is saying to Moshe. And the desire to tell someone how much you love them, in the face of the fact that they don't even have the capacity to grasp how deep your love is. The desire that you have to convey something to someone who doesn't have the kelim, the vessels, who doesn't have the ability, or you can't conceptualize what it is that you're trying to say, the desire creates the radiance and the brilliance. That's the first level. Then there was another opinion that from the sparks that came out of God's mouth when he was teaching Moshe, that those sparks, they settle on Moshe's face, and so Moshe's face radiates, which is another way of saying, if the first level was, I would tell you if you could understand, this second level is, I would show you if I could put it into words. The Medrash is saying that when God is teaching Moshe Torah, there are sparks that come out of God's mouth that are not words. It's God saying, there are no words for what I want to tell you about my love. So the first level is, you can't hear me because you don't have either the vocabulary or the mental capacity to grasp how much I love you. The second level is, God says, there are no words in any language. So as God is telling Moshe how much he loves us, or how much he loves Moshe, so besides the words that are being taught, there's sparks that come out from God's mouth that are not even words. Again, it's the desire, it's the love, but God says, I can't put this into words. So when somebody talks to you and they express everything they can in the knowledge that the true expression of what they want to tell you is not conveyable in words, then the desire that the person has comes to rest on you, and that shines from your face. The third level was Reb Shmuel ben Nachman. Reb Shmuel ben Nachman says, that Moshe holds the luchos, he holds the tablets of stone in his grasp, and God holds the tablets of stone in his grasp, and there's a space in between equal, which is another way of saying, you know, God and Moshe are holding on to the Torah at the same time, right? God is teaching Moshe, so there's a connection. There's a face-to-face, mouth-to-ear, verbal communication between God and Moshe. And Moshe has a grasp. He has a grasp of what God is grasping, Moshe is grasping, but there's an equal amount of ungrasped Torah between them. So here God is saying to Moshe, you're holding it, it's not what I'm teaching you that you're holding. It's what you're learning that you're holding. And while I'm teaching it to you, in the moment that I'm teaching it to you, you feel that you have a grasp. And it's true, you do. But the grasp is not coming from what you're learning. It's coming because I'm holding you. And sometimes you're communicating with someone and you're telling them things, and you know, you can feel, you can sense that they grasp what you're telling them, but you know that as soon as you finish speaking and they turn away, it'll be gone, because what you're trying to say, that person is not at the level to be able to walk away with the knowledge that you have when you're in communication. So people have dialogue. God and man has a dialogue. But when God stops speaking, or when, so to speak, God says, now take what I say and turn around and go down the mountain, as soon as God lets go of those tablets of stone, of those Ten Commandments, I don't understand anymore what he said. And I walk away bereft. And Rav Shmuel says, Moshe was writing the Torah that God was dictating to him, or God was teaching him. Moshe was writing it down. But, you know, Moshe scratched himself, his face, his forehead, with the kumas, with the quill, because Moshe was looking for words. So Moshe has been taught something, and Moshe himself is now looking for the words to put it down onto the parchment, and he can't. Because you yourself don't know what you know. Because I can be learning from the mouth of God, and I can have a grasp, and I can understand it, and now it's my turn to teach it in Echkenisht. I can't give it over. Not just that I can't give it over, but it's inside me in a place that I can't access it beyond to have a vague idea of what I know. I can't really put my finger on what I know. So, the Bisyakov says, we see from all these four different understandings of the Medrash, that the radiance of Moshe's face comes from what you don't know. From what you know you don't know, from what you try to understand but can't, and from your inability to comprehend what you're being told from the divine, and even from the divine inability to put into words something for a human being. That all the radiance of the face of Moshe comes from I don't know. And Moshe comes down with this radiance on his face, and we see it, and then Moshe covers it. So long as Moshe has the radiance on his face, we're afraid of Moshe. We're afraid to approach him. As soon as Moshe covers his face, then we're okay. Why are we okay? Because in the covering of Moshe's face, that is the radiance of our face. Because that's the thesis, that we shine, that we spread the light, that we are the light, that we are the brilliance, not from what we know and not from who we are, but from that which we know is hidden and we can't access. It's interesting to say. Why does it come into this week's Sedra? You know, there's an interesting Me'a Shiloyach. The Me'a Shiloyach in the Gemara in Brochus. The Gemara in Brochus, Lamedal, it says, Kala Nevi'im kulan lo nisnabu ele lebala tshuva. That the prophets, all their prophecy was for the sake of the Baal Tshuva, the person who is trying to return. In English you might say the penitent, but that's really an improper translation of tshuva. Teshuva means to get in touch again with the source of who you are. It's associated with the sefira of Bina, understanding, and it has to do with being able to conceptualize your soul, to see the shape of your soul. We've talked about this many times, especially last year when we were learning about the Chet HaEgel, about the sin of worshipping the golden calf, that really, really where it came from was we wanted to have access to the shape of the soul, of our own soul, and we couldn't do it through Moshe. Moshe goes up the mountain, and he tells us what God wants from us, and he comes down and he teaches us. But we wanted Elohim asher yelchu lefaneinu. We wanted gods who walk here with us, meaning that we felt that we have no access to our own self, our own brilliance, our own specialness, unless we have some avatar, unless we have some way of accessing that part of us. And we felt that we couldn't do that through Moshe, we needed Aaron. So Baal Tshuva is somebody who has mastered the ability to come back to his Bina, to his paternal mother. Avot tzadikim gemurim, but the truly righteous, ayin lo yirasu elokim zolosecho, this is, the prophets weren't prophesying for them, because even the prophets have nothing to say. Even prophets who are in touch with the divine and can hear the word of God, they have nothing to say to the tzaddik, to the truly righteous. There only God has something to say. So in other words, even the prophet, however much he has vision of the divine, can't look into the tzaddik. Upligid rebavu. So the Gemara says, so this obviously arguing with Reb Avu, Domer Reb Avu, because Reb Avu has got this famous saying, Mokem Shebaal Tshuva Oyem Dim, in that place where the Baal Tshuva stands, Tzadikim Gemurim Einom Oyem Dim. So the truly righteous don't have the ability to stand, which suggests somehow that the Baal Tshuva, the one who can return, is somewhat higher. So then the Gemara that says that the prophets only prophesied for the penitents, but for the true tzaddik, the true righteous, that they can't even see, which suggests that the tzaddik is higher. So the Ishbitzer in Meir Shiloyach Chelik Beis says, "Ube'emes elu ve'elu divrei lekim chaim." Both Rebbe Avuhu and the other opinion of the Chachamim is divrei lekim chaim. These are the words of the living God. Ki tzaddik gomer yesh leguf mezukach, because the tzaddik, the saint, he has a body which is really pure. Avalei bal tshuva, but the bal tshuva, the person who has sinned, his body is now corrupted by the sin. Ochei nefesh abal tshuva, but if we're talking about the soul of the bal tshuva, nechtzuva mimokim yoseelin, that comes from a place which is much higher than the soul of the tzaddik. And so the Ishbitzer wants to differentiate in the Gemara between the physical body of a person, and the person can be a really big tzaddik, he can be really saintly and never have done, meaning he's never done a sin in his life, but his soul's not so high. Because he says, he brings the Sabbat de Mishpotim and the Zoya Kodesh Kila Osech, the Donis Nazis Kezochis, in the future, when our sins will have turned to merits, Az Yara Hashem Yisbarach Lenefesh Abal Tshuva, then God shows us the person who's done teshuva, shekiven la'oimek, that really, when we were sinning, we were actually in the direction of the deepest depth. Oimek omuk mikol das, sheho adam yochal hasik. So, if I am a bal teshuva, if I can return to my soul, if I can return to my true shape, then I can be shown how the sin that I did really, that was God's plan. How does it come about that a person can do something really bad and then God will show him that in fact it was something good? That's because the person in discovering the shape of their own soul has to go through hell. And not a hell in the other world, it's not some kind of a fires of hell, but the road of self-discovery, of saying, you know, realizing who I am really, and how I came to do the sin that I did, out of that person that I am, that I have some aspect of the divine that no other person has in the whole world, and instead of being able to live in that and act it out, I became so confused that I did exact opposite, in that I allowed that divine spark, or that divine greatness, that divine uniqueness, that chiddush, that newness, that freshness, which is God's face, that is me, I, in my whatever it was, confusion, in my stupidity, in my whatever, I then took that and I did the exact opposite. I killed someone, I stole something, I shamed someone. How did I do that? So as I do teshuva and I look and I see the shape of my soul, I become so broken and I cry so loud and so deep, Rabbeinu Shalom, how could I have become this person when I'm really this person? So the Ishbitzer goes on to say, "V'zeh inyan karban oyla kuloi kolil." There are different kinds of sacrifices that were brought in the temple. One was the burnt offering. The burnt offering, the whole animal was burnt and nothing was eaten. The whole animal was sacrificed on the altar. "Shezeh raimiz l'tzadik gomer." This is a metaphor of the tzaddik gomer, the perfectly righteous person. Shegufoy mezuchach, his body is so pure, v'dovek l'Hashem mizbeach, he's so connected to the divine, that when he makes an offering, it's not a sin offering, it's a carbon oila. He thought about doing maybe a sin, so he says, you know what, I'm going to bring a burnt offering. Nevertheless, mikol mokem domanitin lamato michut ha'sifra. And the altar, in the great altar in the temple in Jerusalem, there was a line of a relief metalwork that went around the altar, and it was a sign that where the blood would be sprinkled. So they would slaughter the animal, and they would sprinkle the blood on the altar. So the burnt offering, the oila, which is going to be completely burned, which represents the saint who's never done any sin, the blood goes below the middle line. She'ein nafshoi magia lemale kol kach, because the soul doesn't reach so high. V'kaben chatos, but the sin offering, nechel kehanim, it's not so pure. It has to be eaten by the priests in order for the person to receive, to go through their purification process. Shebo achet bepoel, because it's coming, because the person actually did a physical sin, and so therefore there has to be a whole process of purification. V'domai nizrik lemala, but the blood of this offering gets sprinkled above the waistline of the altar. Why? Shenafshoi godoy mo'oid, because the soul of the Baal Teshuva, the soul of the one who returns, is very, very high. V'zeh machmas shivrin liboy. Why is it high? Because got a broken heart. V'tza'akosoy, and he's got a deep cry inside himself. Zoyche, so therefore he merits, shis'ale nafshoi lechaven rotzoin Hashem Yisborach. So anybody who has a cry inside them, and anybody whose heart is so broken, and they discover the shape of their own soul, and they see how in their stupidity and confusion and in their blackness and darkness and in their depression and all the stupid places that a person can go. If I can make the connection between that divine chiddush, that freshness, that glorious divine freshness, which is the face of God that only I represent, that nobody else. And if God were to be running the world with that face, then I would be the Nosi Haidor, I would be the leader of the whole world. Because when that moment comes, then that's my moment. And yet, what did I do instead? With that divinity, I went and did the opposite. How could a person be more broken? How could a person feel worse? Gewalt. That brokenness and that cry, that comes from such a high place, not a low place. The sin, you could say, comes from a low place. But the cry, Gewalt, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, what am I? What have I done? How am I going to get back to where I'm supposed to be? How am I going to uncover who I really am? How am I going to fix what I did? How am I going to have a breakthrough the curtain, the wall of iron that I've built that separates me from you? So the Ishbitzer says the whole parasha, the whole sedra of Kisiso that begins when God says to Moshe, when you raise the heads of the Jewish people, from the beginning to the end, the whole parasha is set up with this architecture. That first, God talks about the Nesias Rosh. God talks about the elevation of every person to that divine spark of unique and individual greatness. And then we worship the golden calf. And it's interesting, in Parashas Mishpotim, straight after we receive the Ten Commandments on Sinai, it says Sholosh Po'omim Bashono, three times a year, Yeiroe Kol Zchurcho, every man has to be seen El Pnei Ha'odoin Hashem, to the face of God the Master. Now, this week, right at the end of the Sedra, it says, Espnei Hashem Elokecha Tira Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana, I think. Let's see. What's the exact thing? Kol Peterechem Sheshis Yomim Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana, 3 times a year. Yeroe Kol Zechurcha, every one of your men must see Es Pnei Ha'Adon Hashem. That was Es Pnei. Es Pnei Ha'Adon Hashem. So, Es Pnei Hashem Elokecha, it says here. So in Parashas Mishpatim, it talks in the third person that you have to see the face of God the Master, right? And here in this week's Parsha, it says, and you see the face of God your God. So after we've worshipped the golden calf, then the tense changes. You know, Moshe says, In Parashas Mishpatim, God says to Moshe, I'm sending an angel, and be careful, you know, he's not going to put up with too much nonsense. And Moshe didn't make an objection. This week, when God says, I'm going to be sending an angel for you, Moshe says, no. No, he says, you have to take us yourself. Because before the sin, you know, Moshe thought that we could deal with the Torah, we could deal with God in the third person. Now we can't. Now it has to. We have to have the awareness. And yet, God says to Moshe, "I can't show you the awareness. You can't have the awareness. You can't live in this world with this awareness of me." So what does God do? He shows us, he teaches us something, that from the lack of awareness, your face shines. So the whole parsha is set up this way. The Beis Yaakov actually says, you know, there's an aspect of God called Atik Yoimin, the ancient, the Holy Ancient One. The Holy Ancient One, imagine, you know, you're talking to your baby. You're talking to your baby. So you speak, oh, Moshele, I love you. Oh, it's good to see you smiling. And your baby's a 6 months old. It doesn't understand what you're saying. But you know something? From the music of your voice, from the expressions on your face, the child, so you're speaking, but there's no real comprehension on the part of the child, right? The baby. And yet, the baby gets a lot, right? This is a bechinah of Zeirampin. Right? So God can speak, of course, what do I understand, right? But God can speak in such a way that even though I don't understand what's being said, but there's things that I can know. And then there's the bechina of Atik Yoimin, the Holy Ancient One, where there's no way of understanding. I mean, the Beis Yaakov gives an example, you know, two adults who are talking to one another, and there's a child there, right? So if the adults would speak in adult language, the child really wouldn't understand what's being said. But so, you know, you can sit at a table with your child and you talk to your spouse, right? And the child, and you can talk in such a way that even though you're having an adult discussion, the child receives knowledge of what's being said. That's the Bechina of Zerampin. So God says to Moshe, it's true. I'm going to be speaking in such a way that you'll be able to understand something. And this is what Moshe is saying, Re'ei. Moshe says, Re'ei ki amcho hagoy azeh. Moshe says to God, see your people, this nation. So what does it mean? God can't see unless Moshe says, see, look. But you know, if we're talking about the shining face, and we're talking about the radiance that, you know, we see on Moshe, God, Moshe is saying to God, please, Ure'e doesn't mean see, but Ure'e, let us see. Let us see that we are your people. In the Gemara, very often in the Mishnah, talks about, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Roya ani divrei admoin. The phrase I see means I like, I prefer. There's an Ishbitz Torah that says, when God says, I can see that this people they're stiff-necked people, that in fact God is saying, when he says I see, he's actually saying, yeah, I made it this way, this is how I like it, they're going to need it. So Moshe says, Re'ei ki amcho goy. God, you need to show us that you can see us and that we can see you. We have to have more than just a third person God. You know, we keep coming back to this as the Jewish people, that we've agreed not to have any image of God. We don't ask for an image. But we do ask God to show us that we're connected. And God says, this is the way I will show you, by your being aware that you're not seeing. This is going to be all your radiance from your wanting, from the desire. It's going to shine on your face. It's going to light up the whole world, the fact that you want to know me and I hide myself from you. And this is the Nosoyes Rosh B'nai Yisrael. And God says to Moshe, raise, elevate the Jewish people. These are the Baal Tshuvas. These are the people who are trying to get back to the source. And this can only come from God. Only God can give us the Nesias Rosh, because God is the Nosi. God is the leader. He's the Melech HaKovod, the king of all the glory. And he's the king of the glory because the king can share, he can give it, he's the source. But God says, until Mashiach's coming, I can't show you my face. But I can show you that I'm hiding. And from that, you'll shine from one end of the world to the other. Shkoyach.